It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go. Jets win it. Touchdown. Rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen, thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to take a look at the film of the Jets' newest wide receiver, the Yak God, Malachi Corley, the 65th overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, first pick in the third round for the New York Jets out of Western Kentucky. And so, to talk about it, our friend who does the film over on the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel, The Thunder from Down Under, Mr. Luke Grant. Luke, what's up, brother?
I'm doing pretty well, Scott. It was a really interesting draft class. The Jets, obviously, very offensive heavy the first few picks. And on day two, they managed to get your guy, Malachi Corley, who I know you were a huge fan of throughout the whole process. A lot of people were talking about Franklin and those kind of dudes, but he was a skill set that you liked in this offense. And after watching more of the film, you can definitely see why.
Let's get right into it, Luke. Obviously, there's a reason why he's called the Yak God. His greatest strength is his ability to get yards after the catch. Talk a little bit about that.
For me, it was a really unique thing to see for a wide receiver that he wants to win after the catch with power, with violence, and with anger. A lot of the guys that fail in the NFL who are these yak type guys are predicated around speed and around, you know, short area lateral quickness. A perfect example is a guy like Rondale Moore, or if you go back, a guy like Tavon Austin. It's that prototype of slot receiver. He's completely different. The reason he wins is because he is thick. Yeah, he's only 5'11", but he will run you over. There are some reps against Ohio State. He only had, I think, 8 catches for 80 yards, nothing particularly explosive, but he'd catch a couple of screens, and he'd just go flying at second-level defenders and knocking them over. It was so rare that you saw him brought down on first contact, but then he's got enough acceleration in those first 3 steps to get an arm tackle. That's all he's trying to do. He's not trying to make you miss in a phone booth. He wants to get you to a position where you have to tackle him outside your frame, and he is going to bulldoze straight through that. I mean, everyone's seen that clip of him running down the right sideline off a little RPO. I started my video breakdown on the YouTube channel with it. He's got great hips, he's got great strength, and it's just character. And sometimes those kind of guys are just so important to your offense. It's a skill set after the catch that the Jets do not have. Xavier Gibson, you know, had some nice touches, especially on special teams on opening night with that touchdown against Buffalo, but realistically didn't have much of an impact. He's more of that slighter slot. I really like this kid's running style. Malachi Coley calls himself the Yak King, and I tend to agree.
Some real short area quickness there too, in addition to the power.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's not your, you know, traditional typewriter feat, but he's definitely got enough wiggle, enough side-to-side bounce. And that's kind of why I gave him my player comp that I did, which I think we'll dive into a little bit later. But it's that rare combination of speed, a little bit of side-to-side movement, and then that power. He kind of has everything that you covet. And the next step for him is going to be developing more as a route runner, but also the deep threat ability, because when everyone on the defense is so worried about you getting the ball underneath, you just give yourself such an advantage down the field. And I don't think they did a great job tapping into that in college. Hopefully Nathaniel Hackett can do that.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit, because when you watch his tape, I think there really is a vertical element to his game that Western Kentucky didn't tap into. Now, to be fair, Western Kentucky saw what he could do, and they had him do it to the best of his ability, the yak stuff, and he's great at it. But I think there are other areas of his game that he can continue to improve upon. And when you watch his tape, I think the number one thing that sticks out is the vertical element. He can become a weapon in that area if given time and given the proper coaching and tutelage.
I think so. You said it perfectly. Just because a player in college isn't asked to do something doesn't mean they can't. Look, they had some quarterback limitations at WKU. It was funny. Someone in the comments on YouTube said, gee, the quarterback looks good. Well, when you're showing highlight clips of Malachi Coley, it makes it look pretty good. Realistically, I think his name was Reed. He was extremely poor. He missed so many open throws throughout the 2023 season. The vertical route tree could be there. Look, he's not going to blow by you like a Hyatt-type guy from last year coming out of Tennessee, but I think it's the double moves. When you're running things like speed outs from motion, something you see from San Francisco's offense all the time, people in motion across, either for return or jet motion, then you give them a free release. People start to jump and their eyes light up as a DB as they get downhill and close. That's when he can break off on a double move, that out and up that you see. There was a really good example of that in my film breakdown where he just left the DB, turned inside out, had 6-7 yards of separation, and it would have been a touchdown, but it was underthrown. And in the end, it was a 40-yard gain into the red zone for WKU. The tendencies are there. It starts with footwork, the ability to sink his hips. He should be able to do that really well because he's 5'11". He's not that 6'4" leggy frame that can sometimes struggle in that area. Think of DK Metcalf, for Jets fans, close your ears, Denzel Mims. Those guys who are more straight line, vertical movers, linear movers, I don't see Coley in that mold, obviously. So he has the ability to be a double move type guy. I just don't think it's going to be a burner from the X position.
There are other areas, too. I know he struggled a little bit with contested catches, but he wasn't really asked to do it. I think with his power, once he gets the body control down, he can use his strength to get contested catches and add that as a part of his game as well. And in the intermediate area, another thing he has very rarely been asked to do, but every now and again, it flashed when he was asked to do it. I think those are two areas where you could really develop his game. I think the key here with Malachi Coley is you know that he's already elite as a yak guy, taking those screens and taking those short passes. But if you can get him going in the intermediate area, if you can develop that vertical element that we were talking about before, and if he can start controlling his body with his strength and his power to improve on the contested catches, this is a guy that could go from a gadget player to a well-rounded receiver. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Brandon Ayuk, but if you look at Brandon Ayuk's tape from Arizona State, Brandon Ayuk was considered more of a gadget guy. And if you remember, Luke, year number two, he was really out of favor with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan was upset, didn't think that Ayuk was ever really going to quote-unquote get it, but eventually he caught on. It took him a while, and now he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He's on the precipice of a huge contract, and the 49ers have themselves one of the best weapons in the league. I'm not saying that Malachi Coley is going to get to that level, but you can see the blueprint there from taking a guy who's mostly known to just do what Malachi Coley does in college and slowly turn him into something that's much more than that.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's a developmental pick who can give you something in the short term. You know he's going to be effective on schemed and designed touches, but you hope you can, you know, transform him into a complete slot receiver. The hands are a little concerning. He doesn't love to run over the middle and catch it. It's not because he's scared of contact. He's just not that fluid at the catch point when he's moving. That could be something that develops. We'll kind of just have to wait and see. But here's the positive thing, Scott, because I know a lot of people are talking about, well, he can't do this, he can't do that. What he can do is very reliant on scheme, and the Jets have Nathaniel Hackett. It is so easy to dial up screens. We've talked about that aspect of his yak play. But the other area that he feasted was on the short routes, like a mesh concept. For those who don't know, a mesh is a drag coming from either side of the formation and usually have a hook route over the middle. When he's running laterally from left to right across the field, stretching the field, you know, from east to west, that's something San Francisco do a ton, by the way. He was so effective. If you give him a little rub or a pick and he gets a split second of space, he will separate with his first three steps of acceleration with the ball in his hands. And then when he flips his hips and goes north-south, he is so strong and powerful. And we talked about how he runs through contact. So you know that you can give him mesh concepts. You know you can give him screens, tunnels, all those kind of things are right there. And you just hope the intermediate route running develops and the hands catch up a little bit. To be honest, I don't really know how the intermediate route running is because he didn't do a ton of it. Again, I'm not going to hold that against him, but right now, obviously, I'm not going to assume he can do it at a high level. So that's kind of where I'm at it on Malachi. I'm really excited by the pick. I think I'm kind of coming full circle again. He's the guy who you know he can give you production instantaneously, but there's so much more to unlock.
And one area of his game that people don't talk about enough is his blocking. Now, you talked about how physical he is when he has the ball in his hands, but he's pretty physical when he doesn't have the ball in his hands too.
I mean, I feel like you have to be. If you're a guy who lives on screens and underneath stuff and other people blocking for you, you kind of have that ingrained that that's the culture and that's how you need to win. He's a bulldog out in front. Again, not asked to do it a ton because usually the design touches went to him, but you could see that he's willing to get his nose dirty. That's something that Hackett and Sulla will like a lot. I just think he's a football player that really represents the coaching staff. You know, Sulla and Ulbrich are very, you know, down-to-earth, hardworking dudes. Their defense plays as such, and I think Malachi Cawley has some of that to his game. The blocking's definitely there. I have no concerns about him getting stuck on perimeter runs and crack blocking and those kind of things from the outside. I think he can do that to a high level. So you can add that to another reason, another way, an avenue for him to see playing time. It's going to be through run blocking. It's going to be through design touches. And I think it's pretty exciting for the Jets.
Another thing you notice when you watch Malachi Cawley is how well he should complement, at least on paper, the other receivers in the Jets offense. You've got Garrett Wilson, who can kind of do a little bit of everything. Mike Williams, who's that downfield threat, who's the 50-50 possession guy. And then here's Malachi Cawley with the short area quickness, who can take a screen and instantly transform it into a first down and move the chains. So the Jets are really diversifying their weapons for the attack in 2024.
That's the really impressive part, I think, about this move. If you drafted a guy like Tony Franklin, who I really liked, even though he's a very different build, he's the same type of receiver as Mike Williams. So Mike Williams is slower. Mike Williams is significantly thicker, but he's a contested catch guy vertically down the field. He runs nine routes extremely well and some sevens. Franklin is extremely slender and light, and he's straight line quick, and he can separate. But again, it's only vertically down the field. You would have had a similar piece to your offense. Even a guy like Alan Lazard, his best work with Aaron Rodgers was as a vertical threat, be it from the slot or on the outside. Garrett Wilson is your Stephon Diggs, do-it-all type guy, as you mentioned. He's your ex-receiver who you can also slide inside. Cawley gives you something completely different. He stretches the field laterally. The ability to move defenders sideways opens up holes for Breece Hall in the running game. It allows Garrett Wilson to see more single coverage, and it just gives them an added dimension. A well-rounded offense is really important. Look, if you gave me a second Garrett Wilson, I wouldn't have said no, but you can't always do that. You need to manufacture offense and make sure those pieces fit together. And I think this is the best a Jets wide receiving group has done exactly that.
Luke, talk a little bit about how you expect Nathaniel Hackett and really in all practicality Aaron Rodgers, who will probably be running the offense in everything but name, how they're going to work Malachi Cawley into this offense from day number one.
I think a lot of that's going to depend on how he goes in training camp, how he develops, how that chemistry starts with Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, that's going to be a huge component. Rodgers is a more crucial piece to this than Nathaniel Hackett. Let's not kid ourselves. From top to bottom in the organization, from play calling, to control the line of scrimmage, Aaron Rodgers does a lot of that. I think the fit is going to be, he's going to get a ton of screens because Aaron Rodgers likes to throw underneath. When he does throw over the middle, he's looking for a guy who separates. Corley can do that on a drag or a table. If he's coming out of the backfield, you can motion him around. That's something we haven't really talked about. There were times that WKU used him as a running back. There were times they motioned him into a pony look, which is when you have two backs. So they're motioning him from the slot into the backfield and then having him run routes. He's just got that ability to do everything in a gadget sense. And I think that's how the Jets are going to use him. They're going to have a package of 10 plays. They're going to try and get him the football 5 to 6 times a game and say, turn this into 80 yards, get us an explosive 15 plus yard gain. And that's how Malachi Corley is going to win. He can develop later. We can worry about him being a holistic receiver. The Jets are in win now mode. They want to know what you can do at a high level right now. And it's those couple of attributes that Malachi Corley has in spades.
As far as comparisons, I've said he reminds me a lot of what Brandon Ayuk was like coming out of Arizona State. You're hearing a lot of Deebo Samuel comparisons. Our friend Brett Coleman compared him to Rashee Rice. And notwithstanding what Rashee Rice has gone through during the offseason, he had a very successful rookie year, had almost 1,000 yards, and obviously was a key piece on a Super Bowl championship team. You have a different comparison. Talk about who it is and why.
Yeah, look, I mean, all of those make sense. I said in the start of my video, you can understand why people are calling him a, you know, home brand Deebo Samuel. He has a lot of the same traits. I get the Ayuk, the Rice, all of those guys. For me, I looked at the violence. I looked at the first couple of steps and the explosion that he has. And I looked at just the nature in which he played football. And all I could think watching the tape was that he looked like Isaiah Pacheco if Pacheco played wide receiver. He just wants to run you over. He is dynamic. He is angry. I know they have a segment on Good Morning Football with Kyle Brand, and they talk about the angry runs. I can guarantee you that Malachi Corley, will win one this year. I just saw that demeanor and the want and the anger that Pacheco has when he's running for the Chiefs, and how you watch him and go, he doesn't run like any other running back in the league. He looks completely different when he has the football in his hands. That's kind of what I thought Corley looked like. You don't see any wide receivers run like him. Even Deebo, he's now a little more explosive and he's trying to avoid contact and lateral movement. Malachi is just completely different altogether. That speed to power was wild, and I thought that was a pretty fun comp.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Luke, let's ease some people's minds here, because if you'll recall, when the Jets picked Elijah Moore, part of what people thought he would be able to be successful at here was the bubble screens and the end arounds and the little short passes and stuff like that, on top of obviously hitting the home runs. And when Braxton Berrios was here, that was sort of his role. It's not like you could compare either one of those guys to Deebo Samuel and what he can do for a variety of reasons, not the least of which Deebo Samuel is probably about 40, 50 pounds heavier than those two guys. But talk to me a little bit about why Malachi Corley is much, much different than somebody like Elijah Moore, and why you expect him to have a lot more success here than Elijah Moore did.
Yeah, look, I mean, Elijah Moore had a kind of slow start to his career that wasn't helped by Mike LaFleur, it's confusing. I'm trying to block him out of my life. But look, the body types are very different. I would say that the quarterback play is obviously going to be significantly better. Aaron Rodgers is going to like to throw the ball underneath. And I think just the way that Corley goes about getting open is extremely different to Elijah Moore. I think Moore ran really well through the catch point, and he got open really well. But there were games like against Baltimore to start the 2022 season where he wasn't seen. He got disgruntled. The talent was there with Elijah Moore. It was quarterback play with Zach Wilson, who, yes, I was a fan of and a proponent of the way he played football. It didn't work out here. Aaron Rodgers is going to get him the football because he knows Corley can be explosive. Braxton Berrios doesn't have the talent. He had some nice, you know, lateral wiggle. That's why he's a good punt returner. But he wasn't going to run through you. He wasn't going to run over you. He wasn't as dynamic or explosive with the football in his hands. So Corley is going to be significantly better than he was. So on the whole, I think he's more dynamic than Braxton was. He's a better player. He's more physical. But when it comes to Elijah Moore, the situation is better with Aaron Rodgers. And I think he has a better chance to be successful because of his play style. Those two factors will allow him to be, you know, immediately impactful, whereas Elijah was kind of swimming uphill. I'm not saying he's a better prospect, but I think the opportunity for success is much greater here for Malachi Corley.
And he's certainly a different style of player. You could argue who the better prospect was coming out of school, but they're not remotely the same player, even if they do some of the same things.
Completely right. I mean, they might utilize the same spaces. They may try and stretch defenses the same way, but the way in which they attack you and try and defeat you is completely different. Elijah Moore was more based on being nimble, being laterally quick, winning at the line of scrimmage. Malachi Corley, you don't know what his release package is like because he wasn't really asked to do it. He's obviously, as I said, predicated around power, speed, explosion, those type of qualities. And that's why I think those will translate better because number one, he's going to be more durable. And number two, I just think they're a better fit for the modern NFL.
Luke, when you were talking about Braxton Berrios, you mentioned returns. People are wondering if Malachi Corley is going to return kicks. I'm not sure it's the best idea, but what do you think? You think Malachi Corley will be the kick returner here?
Look, he could be. I think they're going to save him for offense. I think they're going to envision a bigger picture for him. Look, I think he'd be completely fine. And with the rule changes they're looking at, I think Corley makes sense. But I just feel like if he can be your number three receiver and you can really maximize him in that capacity, you don't need him returning kicks. You can do it with Xavier Gibson. You could do it with somebody else. I just think they'll probably go in a different direction. It's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie in big situations with kick and punt returns. I think let him feast with what he's really familiar with, and that is the gadget plays, running his drags, running his screens, and getting the football in his hand and going to work.
Luke, anything positive or negative about Malachi Corley that we haven't touched on yet that you think is worth mentioning?
No, I think we've pretty much touched on who he is as a player. I think the film kind of speaks for itself. Seems like a pretty high character guy. We know it's important for Joe Douglas. I like the physicality, man. I just think those players are kind of rare. I think he's a really good fit with Aaron Rodgers, who is kind of that kind of dude as well, who if he gets your respect early, he'll throw you the football. I know people are worried about the whole Aaron Rodgers won't throw him the football. We've talked about it, Scott. He threw Romeo Doubs the football a ton. He started to trust younger receivers the more he's gone on in his career. And I think, obviously, that chemistry with Garrett Wilson last year was incredible in the preseason until it eventually fell apart in week one. So I'm not concerned about that. I would say ease that out of your mind and let's just focus on the football player.
Not only that, Luke, but it's one thing to trust a wide receiver to have to run these complicated routes and get open and figure out the timing and all of that. It's a whole different ball game when you're talking about, hey, kid, here's the ball. Go run with it.
Exactly. I mean, it's pretty simple. Get the ball in his hands. Hey, you're not asking him to win down the field. I think Rodgers is going to be just fine with that.
Luke Grant, the Thunder from Down Under, thanks so much for coming on and breaking down the film of the Yak God, Malachi Corley, the Jets' newest wide receiver, the 65th pick in the 2004 NFL draft, number one in the third round, as people have talked about. The suspicion is that the Jets did this because they were trying to avoid that second round wide receiver curse. So you can put that out of your mind. Luke's got a great film review up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/playlikeajet of Mr. Corley. But Malachi Corley's not the only one we've got a film review up of, right?
Exactly right. As we talked about, extensive 10-minute video on Malachi Corley. There's a video up on Olu Fashanu, the Jets pick at number 11 after that trade down, talking a lot about his pass pro and what makes him a really effective prospect. And a guy I broke down just yesterday, you know, Braylon Allen really impressed me. He's a thumper of a player, but his skill set, I think, goes beyond that, and I think that's why the Jets kind of fell in love with him in the fourth round. So heaps of content coming. You'll find more stuff over the next couple of days on the rookies. We've got the free agent class videos coming, stuff like Tyron Smith looking at the two kids out, or I say kids, looking at Simpson and Moses out of Baltimore and what they can add to the Jets offense. Plenty of videos, 10-minute film breakdowns, all 22. Don't miss them.
Check out all of those videos at youtube.com/playlikeajet and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.